Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown, helping you get your finances in order and get you the credit you deserve. The Credit Connection, here on KSMA, 1240 AM, 99.5 FM, and 1240KSMA.com. Now, from High Tech Lending, David Brown.
Welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown. At The Credit Connection, we want to connect you to the credit you want and deserve for your home, your business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, and more. We really enjoy your feedback and questions that relate to credit. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave your questions or comments. You can also call us at 805-686-2321. That's 686-2321. Today's program, we will answer some questions submitted to us, give you the behind-the-curtain truth about credit cards, their use, cost, and myths. As I said, we love hearing from you and the questions you send in to our website at reloans.com. With your questions, you can also call us at 805-686-2321 and leave your questions for David Brown. Let's get started. We have some great questions and comments from our last show about down payment assistance programs. Judy went to our website and asked the following question. If you qualify for a down payment assistance loan, if your credit score was 640 minimum, but your spouse's FICO score was below the 640 score. Good question, Judy. This comes up frequently. Sorry, no. All borrowers need a credit score above or at 640 for the down payment assistance program. Jorge called with the following question. Does the income limit for a down payment assistance benefit change based upon household size or number of borrowers? This is a very good question, Jorge. Some loans have income limits such as the USDA, which will change based on your family size and structure of wage earners. However, the down payment assistance program is fixed at the county level, regardless of family size or number of borrowers. Thank you, Jorge. Great question. Our next question comes from Heather, who writes, let me get this right. They provide a chunk of the down payment and forgive the amount right after it closes. Sounds too good to be true. What is the catch, or how do they stay in business? Very insightful, Heather. The economics of the program is not that complicated. Let's say that you want a 3% down payment assistance. Without the program, the typical note rate for the primary loan might be 4.625 for a 30-year fixed term. However, if you get a 3% down payment assistance, the rate for that loan is now 5% for the same debt. The down payment assistance delivers that loan at the premium price as it has a greater interest rate. The price premium helps offset and pay for the 3% grant extended so they can do it again. If you wanted a 5% down payment assistance amount, the rate on the underlying mortgage would be even greater. Since 2010, the Golden State Finance Authority has helped 21,800 people purchase homes, providing more than $190 million in gifts. Thank you, Heather, for your question. It's a great program. It has a little bit of a price premium for the fact that you have no down payment. Dan's a lender here in Santa Maria, and he writes with the following. Do I still need mortgage insurance with a down payment assistance program? The short answer, Dan, is yes. One huge difference, however, is the mortgage insurance coverage required. Without the down payment assistance program, the mortgage insurance required a coverage of 35%, and with the down payment assistance program, it drops to 18%. This alone would save $100 every month on a $300,000 loan, which makes the increase in rate a bit more level with the market. Great question, Dan. If you have any questions or scenarios that you'd like us to respond to, go to reloans.com, click on the Contact Us tab, or call us at 805-686-2321. Okay, show me the money, or the credit as the case may go for this particular program. Let's get to the heart of today's program and pull back the curtain on credit cards. Did you know the average household owes $16,061 in credit card debt? The average credit card interest rates vary significantly depending upon the type of card you have. The rate varies significantly within a range from 12 to 20.9%. This excludes zero interest introductory offers available to new cards that last about an average of 10.6 months, according to the Federal Reserve. So if you have an average balance with an average rate of 12.5%, you're paying $66 per month in credit card interest, but your minimum payment is about 2.5% of the balance, or $400 per month, most of which is not deductible. Be careful with what you do with regards to credit cards. Some of the more popular credit cards include travel rewards cards like airlines and hotels. Who here has not boarded a plane and as the plane prepares to land, you're offered X number of miles if you sign up for their credit card? We've all had that issue. Or let's say you go to Target and you make a purchase without their credit card, they're going to offer you one right there on the spot to save 10% on your purchase. Be careful about these programs, but we'll go into that in more detail. Business credit cards are also popular, as are cash back credit cards and student credit cards. Right now, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will discuss myths about credit cards and the things to look out for. Right back.
Mom, are you okay?
Honey, I'm fine. Just a broken glass.
Really? Are you okay?
I haven't been sleeping well since Dad, you know. I wake up at night worried if I can make ends meet.
Mom, why don't we look into a reverse mortgage? Then you won't have to make any more house payments and you can live comfortably.
Should I just call the guys on TV?
No, who knows where they're from? My neighbor recommended David Brown of American Senior. He'll come to the house and answer all our questions. Mom, call David at American Senior, okay? Here, I Googled the number 686-2321.
686-2321.
All homeowners over 62, don't worry about your finances. Call 686-2321. 686-2321. Get a reverse mortgage with David Brown of American Senior. David Brown of American Senior, a division of High Tech Lending, licensed by the Department of Oversight under California Law Mortgage and Lending Act, NMLS 7147, CA 3413-0937.
Welcome back to the second part of our show, The Credit Connection. If you're just now joining us, we were discussing credit card myths and what to look out for. Five myths here about credit cards. Credit cards can be a great financial tool as long as you use them wisely. Knowing the facts about credit cards can help you avoid financial pitfalls. Myth one, applying for a credit card only affects your credit score on the card you use. The fact is, applying for a new credit comprises 10% of your credit score. It does not matter if you're approved for the card or if you use it. It is the inquiry that counts. Frequently applying for credit cards can hurt your credit score overall. So make sure you really need that new card before you apply for it. So for example, if you're at Macy's and they say, we'll give you 10% off for your purchases if you apply for a card, beware. You may not need that 10% or another card from Macy's. It's for them, it builds brand loyalty. So you figure that, hey, I'm maxed out on my Visa card, I'll go to Macy's because I can buy something there with my card. Try to avoid those types of purchases. Myth two, paying less than the minimum payment on your credit bill doesn't count as a missed payment. Fact is, if you don't pay the total minimum payment on your credit card bill, your credit card company may report it as a missed payment. This can bring down your credit score and make it more difficult to qualify for credit in the future. Check your statements for the minimum amount due and be sure to pay it on time and keep your account current. And remember, paying more than the minimum due is always a great way to pay down the debt. The other thing about having a missed payment or paying less than what's due is that your credit card company can put you at a default rate, and we'll discuss that a little later, but your payment rate or the payment, the interest you pay, it can go up significantly on a missed payment or paying less than the amount due. Myth three, a credit card limit can be a bad thing. Not necessarily. Excuse me. A high credit card limit can be a bad thing. That's not necessarily true. If you manage your credit cards wisely, a high credit limit can be advantageous. 30% of your credit score is based on your debt-to-credit ratio. That's the amount you owe in proportion to the total credit limit. If you have a high credit limit, you can keep your balances low, so your debt-to-credit ratio is also low, which can help your credit score. So that's why you might want a high balance limit on your credit card. Myth number four, you must carry a balance on your credit card to build a credit history. That's not true. Credit cards are great tools for building your credit history, and you don't need to carry an unpaid balance to do so. Your best strategy is to use your credit cards, pay off the balance, the bill in full each month, so to keep your overall debt to credit limit very low. Myth number five, more credit cards you have, the better. Not necessarily, but having more credit cards is not going to be any better than having a handful. 10% of your credit score is determined by the type of card you have. For example, you might have student loans, a mortgage credit, or the credit cards themselves. Credit agencies look for a good mix. If all you have is credit cards, it may not help you or your score. Going on to the some of the basic features with regards to scores and whatnot, what we want to go into is that what's the intro period, how many of us get these cards where there's 0% interest for your transfers and setting up a new card, but it only lasts for the next 6 to 12 months? That intro period, how it affects the score and the economics. If you've got multiple cards, it makes sense if you're carrying a balance to dump all those credit balances onto a 0%. Well, why not? You know, rather than paying 12% on the existing card, why would I not pay 0% on the new card? That's all good and well, but the economics are one thing, and it is a good economic thing to do, but it will affect your credit score because now your limit on that card might be $10,000. And you've just dumped $9,000 onto it. Well, now you're going to be a high credit user, and you'll be way above that 30% line to use ratio. So it will diminish your credit score, even though it's economically attractive to do those programs. Let's find the best credit cards and avoid the worst. Every time I go to Target or TJ Maxx, like I said, and I pay without a non-store credit card, they always ask if I want to open one up. This builds brand loyalty to the vendor or the store, but those credit cards are not very good. Just like the airline example I used earlier, you can't escape the marketing for these cards. They're everywhere. Going on to our cards that you don't want. High up, the cards, most credit cards are decent. There are some exceptional options with great rewards and promotional interest rates. On the other end of the spectrum, there are some awful credit cards that should be avoided at all costs. The worst credit cards are typically prey on consumers who've had some financial mistakes and may not qualify for anything better. Even if you don't have the best credit, you shouldn't accept a credit card with terrible terms. The worst credit cards typically prey on consumers who've had some financial setbacks and may not qualify for anything better. Even if you don't have the best credit, you should not accept a credit card with awful terms. High upfront fees are an example. A small number of credit cards charge initial fees to the credit card even before you make a purchase. Read through the credit card terms looking out for fees like account setup fees, program fees, participation fees, fees for additional cards, and fees for credit limit increases. The new federal rules say that these subprime or fee harvester credit cards can't charge more than 25% of your initial credit in fees. That's still a high price to pay just to have a credit card, and it's a fee you should think twice about paying. Secondly, are no credit reporting. These credit cards, they're the worst. They won't help you build a better credit score. If you're working to rebuild your credit history, a credit card that doesn't report to the major credit bureaus won't be any good for you, since the payment history for that card won't appear on your credit report or in your credit score calculation. Your positive payments don't do any good to help you build your credit score with a card that doesn't report. Unreasonable high APRs. The worst credit cards come from a high APR, which is annual percentage rate. Much higher than the rates of other credit cards, the majority of these credit card APRs range from zero for the promotional to 24.99%. The worst cards that have regular APRs that exceed the penalty rate for many credit cards. Avoid the credit cards with a regular APR of 30% or higher. Qualifying for better cards. Before you apply for a credit card, even a pre-approved credit card, read through the credit terms, find out the terms and conditions of the card. Compare the credit card pricing to other credit cards to get an idea of what cards typically charge. Choose the card with the most favorable terms for your spending and credit standing. Worst cards that you could possibly have. Okay, here's a list of some of the worst credit cards out there. First, Premier Bank Gold card. Let me say that again. The First Premier Bank Gold Card is a credit card that has attracted a lot of media attention recently due to its astronomical 79.9% interest rate. I think it's ridiculous that a credit card with an interest rate of almost 80% is even legal in the United States. The initial credit limit for a Premier card is $250. As soon as you activate your card, First Premier Bank will gladly sock you for the following fees: $95 for a program setup fee, $48 annual fee, a $29 service fee, and an $84 annual servicing fee, which is equivalent to $7 monthly charge. After taking all these fees into account, your available credit is just $71 after you've paid them on a $250 line. So try and avoid those guys. This is the worst credit card I've ever seen. The card has charges from everything from credit limit increases to pay your bills. The worst secured card is New Millennium Bank. It tries to give the First Premier Bank a run for its money with their secured credit card. Customers pay 19.5% for the privilege of carrying a New Millennium MasterCard. Did I mention that the 19.5% interest rate is the minimum APR available? This is the highest interest rate that I've ever seen on a secured credit card. 99.95 cents account activation fee, a $10 rush processing fee, and a $59 annual fee. The new Millennium card has no grace period, which makes it nearly impossible to pay the card off because you start accruing interest from the minute you make a purchase. New Millennium also offers a prepaid card with an activation fee of $99 and a monthly participation fee of $5.95. That's a total of $170 in fees alone. The worst prepaid card, according to the New York Times, prepaid cards are actually among the consumer banking industry's fastest growing products, but often their convenience comes with hidden fees. The prepaid Visa Rush card is an example of this type of card. The Rush card offers two basic plans. The pay-as-you-go plan has a hefty $19.95 activation fee, and all signature and PIN transactions cost $1 per transaction. ATM withdrawals are $1.95 apiece. The other option is to become a monthly member, which has the following fees: $95 a month account maintenance fee, $3 activation fee, $2 enrollment fee for pay online or bill pay, $1 bill for payments, for bill payments, not electronic, and then $1 paper statement fee. What lessons do we get here from these worst case scenarios? The takeaways that we have is that if you're going to carry a credit card, stay away from those three cards, number one, and always remember the three basic rules when looking for credit for a good credit card. Look for a card with a major trusted financial institution. This makes it easier to contact your financial institution if you have any problems. Avoid cards with high interest rates and no grace periods. A high interest rate can cost you thousands of extra dollars. Watch out for hidden fees, activation fees, annual fees, processing fees. High fee cards can make it way too easy to go over your credit limit without any effort on your behalf, by the card itself having all their individual charges. So, according to the newest survey, the late payment or cash advance fees are nearly universal. They've found the most common late fee is $37, and the typical advance fee is $10 or 5% of the advance, whichever is greater. So if you're getting a transfer or advance from them, let's say you need $1,000. Well, 5% of that would be $50. So you're going to get you're going to have a charge of $50 just for that alone on that transfer. Other common charges: 85% of cards allow for balance transfers, and they charge a fee for that privilege, most often $5 or 3% of the transfer, whichever is greater. So if you're transferring a balance, let's say you have a balance from your 15% card of $5,000 to the 0% card, they're still going to charge you 3%, or it's going to be $150 just to transfer that balance to the 0% card. So be careful with that. Return payment fees are assessed by 80 to 100% of the cards surveyed, and it usually costs up to $37. The return payment is for a NSF or a check that doesn't go through. So, or if it's an auto draft and your bank doesn't have the funds in it, they're going to charge you for that fee as well. Foreign transaction fees is another one. Don't have that if you're using it domestically, but if you use a card, you want to go to Mexico or Canada, there's going to be a foreign transaction charge to go from pesos to the loonie, whether you're in Mexico, Canada, or any other country that doesn't that isn't dollar denominated. And then there's the annual fee. Stay away from the annual fees if you can. And that's that brings that up to speed. But to avoid these fees, do these things. Pay on time, read the fine print, and shop and compare. I've used credit cards from a number of institutions. Some of the best that I've seen are actually from your credit union. So, for example, I've got a credit union card with Coast Hills. It's less than 10%. Not bad. I just use it when I need it and pay it off and no issues. But I've also had other cards that have gone up significantly. I want to go back to the point I made earlier. If you have a late payment or you're don't pay the full amount or the minimum amount due, you have what's called a default rate. And that default rate can go all the way up to 30%. So it's not so bad for that card, perhaps, but it will affect all the cards because all the cards are related on your credit report. So what I'm saying is that just because if you miss one, it can cascade or domino effect to the other cards that you have. So you may be in perfect standing with that card, but they'll still throw on the default rate because you've had a default with another card. And that's true of most any card that's out there. Be cautioned about that. Hope you found today's show of value and you're willing to share this with your friends and family. For questions or comments, go to our website, reloans.com, and click Contact Us or call us at 805-686-2321. Leave your comments, questions, and we'll get back to them next week's show. I'm your host, David Brown, from High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse. Thank you for tuning in to The Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. This is David Brown wishing you credit worthiness. See you next week.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.